kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
And I have a title as usual for our teaching, and I haven't got this title wrong, but we're calling this teaching day today Just Another Day.
Amen.
Yeah. We've got some amens to that. Just Another Day. And I think you're going to understand where we're coming from with regard to this. Just Another Day. And I'd like us to base this teaching today from Luke 17, and we're going to be looking at verses 26 to 29. Luke 17 and verses 26 to 29. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they brought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in that day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. I think you're beginning to understand this title, Just Another Day. What have we got here when we read this? It's interesting. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. In other words, it will be the same when the signs of Christ is coming. And we know that his coming is near. Israel is now a nation, 1947, and the Yom Kippur War. Now she's restored as a nation. And she now has her city, Jerusalem, also restored back to her. These are all the clear signs of the last days. And he says quite clearly here, and as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. And what were they doing in those days? Just before judgment fell, they ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. It was just another day. And likewise, so he's making an emphasis. As it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they brought, they sold, they planted, they built. Just another day. The same similar scenario with Lot. Noah carrying on with life, walking with God until destruction came. Now, I raise this question. Was there at these times world wars going on? We're not told that they were. Were people fleeing because of persecution and so on? Well, there may have been things going on, but as far as we're aware, nothing is mentioned about that. And scripture is very specific at times when it wants to lay a principle. It wants you to understand something. Was there disease and sickness going on? Well, I'm sure there was sickness and disease, but it's not mentioned. And I could just go on with these things, because these are the things that we hear today, that we're bombarded with. But you don't get it when we read this. Life is carrying on as usual. And we need to let the scriptures speak to us, because there are so many voices that are speaking or trying to get our attention, and we have to discern most of those voices in which we're to test the spirits. No, when the rapture happens, it will be relatively normal. It will be a relatively normal day, usual routine, whatever we do, and the rapture will come. And we're going to look at this, how the Lord begins to show us the signs, yes, but everything is going to go on as normal. Now, we're being told, and we know exactly, that everything is changing, and it is changing, the reset, the new world order. And I just want to say that my observations and studies of the new world order is without doubt the beast system being established. We're now virtually coming into a type of beast system. We're seeing it already being built. So that is all going on. These are all parts of the signs and the warnings that teach that the Lord is showing us. But life still goes on. And we still walk with the Lord. And we still confess faith, and we still confess that the Lord provides. He feeds us, he heals us, he delivers us, because God doesn't change in these trials and judgments, unlike man does. So this is very important to glean something here that you can so easily just skim over. And that's why I'm calling this teaching today Just Another Day. It's relatively normal what's going on here. And yet we know what happened with Noah, where the world was wiped out with the flood. And we know with the time of Lot, where the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were completely obliterated. It was like an atomic bomb. I remember watching a program on that area some years ago, and it was very, very interesting, because it said, as they were observing, and you could see the burnt scorch marks still in the rock and everything, and they analysed it, and they said, this heat that burnt even rock was on the scale of an atomic bomb being released. That was what God was doing. And that really struck me. When God means business, he means business in judgment. And here it was just another day. For Noah, it was just another day. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're just going to let these scriptures speak to us, because the Word of God is, believe it or not, to be an encouragement and comfort to us. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 6. 3 to 6, 2 Peter 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. I love that in verse 6. It's quite clear. I just bring this up in passing. It's quite clear. God says the world that was before Noah is destroyed by flood.
Yeah.
So what is all this stuff that we get that's supposed to go back millions of years, these fossils and everything? It's quite clear that it perished. That world perished. You need to look at that in Greek and Hebrew. Quite clear. So this begins to refute the gap theory. And I've looked deep into the gap theory, where the world was without form. And they use that word form in Hebrew. It means nothingness and everything. So there was something that existed. It was all demonic. The devil had done all his foul work, and God came and brought order and spoke life into it and everything. It doesn't. God created the heavens and the earth. It wasn't just the earth. It was all the stars, everything that we look up as well. So we have to go back to Scripture. God doesn't get it wrong with regard to his word. I say that in passing. So we see here things carry on just as they are. Normal. But what are we seeing here? We are seeing what Peter speaks of, a falling away. And these are the signs that Jesus said we are to look to, because the signs are getting near for the rapture. This is what we're talking about. The next great event for the Christian church, for the overcomers, is the rapture. And so what are we told here? Let's just look at it again. Knowing this first. So he wants us to know. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's getting us to learn to know that scoffers will in the last days walking according to their own lusts. Well, if we're not seeing that now, I don't know what we are seeing. Because that is what they do. They now walk to their own lusts, their own thoughts, demonic thoughts, their own evil inventions, and so on. And this is what he says, they walk according now to their own lusts. Their minds have become seared. God isn't in the equation anymore. They're not concerned about the Lord, about God or anything. They just see him as one who restricts one from having a good time. And saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. There it is. Nothing new. It all continues since creation. It's dealing with God who created at the beginning. And there are scoffers coming and saying, Well, when is he coming? And so on. And we're going to hear that more and more. They're going to ridicule. They're going to scoff us. They're going to make fun of us. And I'm convinced this is why the powers of darkness are now bringing so much about UFOs up now, where people are getting snatched away and so on. Can you see how the enemy tries to use all these things to avert what is going to come upon the Christian church? And saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Here it is, just another day. By which the world that was then existed perished, being flooded with water, and so on. So this is what is happening. And are we not seeing and hearing that more and more? Mm-hmm. Questioning everything,
yeah.
Questioning the word of God, don't believe in it anymore, and so on. But they will continue as normal, even though we are seeing the falling away and so on. There will be a normality about this falling away. Now, I'm speaking this primarily for us, the overcomers, because God is going to preserve his elect. I already showed you that in the teachings, those last challenging teachings about, you know, reading the signs of the times. I've read from there where Jacob and family came down in the famine and God found them a place where Pharaoh gave it to them in Goshen, one of the best places in Egypt. And there they flourished. They were blessed. Well, how much more now is God going to do that for his bride who's making herself ready? So we do not have to be caught up in fear and confusion of these things that we hear that are going on. And indeed, they are going on. God is going to preserve and protect us. Why? Because it's just another day for us until he comes for us. Now, why am I saying all of this? Because faith to operate and believe has to have those conditions. Because we still have to walk by faith. And so our faith believes in these promises. And that's, of course, why we make so much of Psalm 91, with all those promises that are there for us. Now, the one that we know very well, let's turn to it, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Because here is absolutely clear, there is going to be a snatching away, a catching away. And yet you've got Christians who don't believe in the rapture. Well, if they don't believe, then they're going to go through the tribulation. Yeah. That's the other scenario for them. Because God is showing a way of escape. And you either see that or you don't. Because flesh and blood doesn't reveal these things. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we know this well. We'll take it up verse 1. And this speaks about the day of the Lord. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, and you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. So the church at Thessalonica knows what the apostle is saying here. He says, I don't really have any need to tell you this or to teach you. You know, you have been taught. You know what's coming and everything. But what is he doing? He's encouraging them because they're beginning to doubt a bit. And the reason they're doubting is because they're waiting for the rapture and many saints have already died. They've just got old. And there's not a lot left. And we could relate to that one in many ways. So it's amazing how practical the word of God can be, can't it?
Yep.
For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light, sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. So this darkness and Christ coming as a thief is he's speaking in the sense you are not discerning. You are not watching. You are not hearing. You are not picking up what the Spirit is saying, because those who are listening, and it will not come like a thief. Have you ever seen a storm approaching and lightning in the distance? There are several things that happen. The first thing is light changes. It's not the same. A second thing that happens, winds start to pick up. It becomes quite turbulent and it's building up. And then you begin to feel the pressure dropping. You can feel it on your face, your skin and everything. You know what is happening. You are seeing a storm approaching and you are feeling the effects of that storm coming. And this is exactly what he is saying here. God very often uses terminology that we understand. This is why he used agriculture, farming, the sowing of the seed. They're things that we understand because it's around us. It's part of the lifestyle and everything. And so he's using this to show what is happening. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light, sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. There we are, the idea of the virgins, the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. But let us watch and be sober. That watching is also part of prayer that makes us spiritually watchful. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. So they become worldly. They are depending too much on the world, the world's resources. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as the helmet, the hope of salvation. And that's what we're doing. Faith, love. We walk by faith. There's the deeper life teaching being given to us. For God did not appoint us to wrath. There you go. He's not appointed you for that. He's not appointed you to go into the hands of the Antichrist, the worst despot that will ever have walked the earth. He's not appointed you for that. But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we walk or sleep, we should live together with him. And there he's comforting that church. He said, whether they sleep or whether you're still alive, you'll all be caught up together in the clouds. You'll all be part of the first fruits, the overcomers. It doesn't matter if they've gone on. Our brothers and sisters who are part of this assembly, who now are with the Lord, we shall see them there. They are first fruits unto God. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And that's exactly what we're doing today, are we not, brothers and sisters?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So it's just another day. I thank the Lord for that. Because it deals with so much of this stuff that's blown out of proportion. It really, really does.
Yeah. Amen.
Here it is, verse 3. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labour pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Mm-hmm. You have got Christians today who are trying to restore governments, are trying to restore the church, the world, bring back a utopia, because they have lost all sight of the rapture and the coming of Christ. They cannot and don't want to see the signs of judgment that is coming. They have got this idea that the church is responsible for this. But as I read the scriptures, I read the days are fast approaching. They are looking for revivals and so on. Now, I believe we will be seeing a manifestation of the glory of God, but a lot of that's going to come when we are caught away. When we are in our new bodies, we're going to have access both to this earth and to heaven. And we're going to be very much used, as you read in Revelation 12, to minister to the woman that is left who's facing persecutions. to minister comfort. Our ministry is going to be supernatural, not known before. You say to me, how do you know that? Because Christ was revealing it when he rose from the dead, and 40 days he was appearing, he was ministering, and it says there were greater things he was doing then. He was still ministering to the church, the disciples. He appeared to them. What's that showing? That is showing what the church is destined for. And yet we can be so blind to these things. But it's all there. That's part of the greater works. The latter-day outpouring. Don't lose sight of these things, brothers and sisters. But it shows in verse 3 that the world will be taken off guard. Because he's going to come like a thief in the night. Verse 4, the church. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. In other words, you're in faith. You're awake. You're in the word. You're in prayer. You're walking in the spirit and not in the flesh. That's what it means. Verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. There we are. That is the deeper life teaching preparing us. The breastplate of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And our faith works by love, unity, oneness. And of course, the helmet of salvation. In other words, your mind, your head is being protected. You have put on the mind of Christ. And you are discerning and testing all things. Testing the spirits in the light of the word of God. Like we're doing today. Just another day. You see, what was normal for Lot and Noah? Well, for Noah, God told him to build, and he started to build because he was a carpenter, and he built this ark. And many of them misinterpreted it, didn't understand. Exactly the same today. You try and share these things, try and share the gospel, the coming of the Lord. Most don't want to hear. But that shouldn't put us off. We obey and do what God tells us to do. How about the time of Lot? Well, the angels went down, didn't they, into Sodom? And where did they find Lot? Sitting at the gate, the entrance into the city. That's where you traded. That's where you worked and so on. He was working. That's why he was there. Just another day. And they said, we've got news for you. You better get out. It's going to be destroyed. And you know the rest of the story. Why are these principles here? Because it is to give us comfort. It's to deal with this fear and this confusion the devil tries to do. I know, he tries it with me. He tries it with me. They had a functioning economy at its time. Things were going as normal. And God was putting his people into safety. Do you know what Lot, the destruction of Sodom, Gomorrah, what it signifies? It signifies the Lord taking the church out of it. He took a remnant out of Sodom and Gomorrah before fire came down. There's a type that shows us of the rapture and what God is going to do with the church, the overcomers. And yet everything's going on as normal. And it was exactly the same for Noah, the same then, and it's going to be the same for this dispensation. even though we're seeing the falling away. And what are the things that we are just seeing and discerning? A huge increase in immorality.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the clear signs of immorality, of falling away. We're seeing a declining environment. Everything is moving toward the beast system, darkness, and the days of evil. And they won't see it. They won't discern it. And this, of course, is why he will come like a political leader, as he will. And why will he be so successful? Well, I don't have to tell you an awful lot now what goes on in politics and our leaders. I mean, most of our leaders around the world haven't a clue. They're not much good. And the world and people are crying out for some leadership, some direction, some honesty, uprightness. I mean, you still hear that because so much of them are criminals. They're bound up in the New Age. They're bound up, most of them, these elite, are Luciferian. Do you know what that is? That is occult. That is devil worship. I don't call it the elite, I call it the occult, because that's exactly what it is.
Exactly.
It's the mystery of iniquity. They want to worship Satan, the devil. And they want the world to worship Satan. And this is why everything is changing. Daniel says that in the last days he would change things. He would change the seasons, the customs and everything. Do you know, I heard the latest. You won't believe this. I'm sure most of you do not watch it, or you might have just skimmed over it, whereas I did once. But listen to this. I thought, well, this speaks it all. This program they have on at the moment, it's called Love Island.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, it's from the pit. But listen to this. They're now complaining and moaning about it because it's too heterosexual. That's how depraved we're becoming. The utter confusion. And people are in an uproar over it. You see. So, you're lost for words at times, and I can see you're lost for words. This is the depravity, this is what we're living in, and this is what we're told to observe and watch and see, you see? And it was the same times, it was happening in Noah, and it was happening in Lot. And yet you've got a lot in the Christian church are looking for revival. They're looking for this utopia and to establish and to get governments back to being Christian again and so forth. I read a lot of it. It's sad. It's a big sell that they're trying to push today, but it's not going to happen. An old Lot was sitting at that gate and the angel came and said, "You've got to get out, and your family as well." And it's going to be similar when the rapture, the coming of the Lord, because it's another day and nothing changes. It was business as usual. What does it say in 1 Timothy chapter 4? 1 Timothy chapter 4. You know this all very, very well. We read this many times. But again, you'll see just how important it is in the context of what we're talking about. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, which we're in now, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And they are rife. Mark my words. we are seeing deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And there are certain things that you see about all of this. And there's something that the Lord's opened my eyes to with a lot of these deceivers who have these doctrines of demons. And a lot of them are quite charismatic. But one of the things that you see, they love to get up in their entertaining. And you'll notice the word of God's hardly used. They do not even have a Bible in their hands, and they're strutting around the auditorium and pointing the finger, thus says the Lord, God says this, and everything. They are not being guided by the scriptures in what they say. How often do you see that now when you these videos? A lot, all the time. That is a sign. Don't get involved with any ministry like that. Because if the Holy Spirit is present and the Spirit of God is teaching, you will find that the preacher, teacher, whoever he is, his business is about the Word of God and interpreting by the Spirit that Word to the people. You don't see that much with these people, do you? And God opened my eyes to that. I mean, maybe you've seen that. But he opened my eyes big time to that. And he said, they are deceivers. They have deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Oh, they can sound convincing. Sadly, even some of them speak in tongues. But they're falling away. That's the problem. They're not listening to the warnings of Almighty God. They speak lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. And so they don't really tell the truth. They're embellishing on the word of God. They're not true. It's really lies. And of course, we're filled with that today, aren't we? Even our politicians are the same as well. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So they're changing the Antichrist spirit, the beast system. It's changing the world, the environment, the politics, everything, the outlook. So it's putting these restrictions upon you now. Global warming. And all these fears and best not to marry now because the future doesn't look good. Don't have children. They're going to cost a lot of money, or they're going to add to the environment and pollution and so on. All these crazy things that are coming out. And of course, we know that Catholicism, they don't allow their priests to marry. And most of them are burning in lust. On that day, we're going to find a lot of priests had a lot of illegitimate children that the church didn't know. But this is what it does. And so we see all of this stuff building up more and more. Abstaining from food. See, here it goes. I mean, veganism now is a big thing. It's eco-friendly. And what are we beginning to see now? Governments and these oligarchs wanting to buy up land. Farmland. Why have you got these farmers demonstrating in Holland, Germany, all around the world? Because government wants to take over their farming. It's their life, their livelihood. It's passed on from generation to generation. I've always said, leave farmers. They know what they're doing. Leave people. They know the countryside. They've spent centuries in this, and now you've got everything to take over. And of course, they want to get rid of livestock, they want to get rid of the cows and everything.
Demolish
and
crops.
So and so on. So it would be all GM produced. And that last video we had around was appalling, an abomination, where they're now producing from the lab. You can have meat which includes the cells of film stars, pop stars, so that you're eating, designer meat. This is opening the door to cannibalism.
Yeah.
These are demons behind all of this stuff that's going on. Bill Gates is buying masses of land in the US. What's that all about? We could just go on with all of this. This is the beast system coming in. And they're going to give over all this power, all this technology, all the money, wealth. They're going to hand it over to the Antichrist. Revelation's absolutely clear on it. Now, why am I stressing this? Because these are the signs Jesus said we are to look towards as we're coming near to the rapture. Hallelujah. But what is it for us? Just another day. Hallelujah. Look at the deliverance. Yes, we speak out on this, but we're not affected by it. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Wonderful. Because we're seeing what God is saying. And so God removes his people to safety. And that's what he's going to do with the rapture. He's going to take us to safety before it finally is let loose. Hallelujah. So the tribulation is soon to come. And it's just like the times of Sodom and Gomorrah. And as we've said in 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 1 to 11, the Lord's showing us that we know the times, the seasons. Everything is coming, but for the overcomers, he won't come as a thief. The same as when the storm is starting to brew up. You observe, you watch. The storm is communicating to you. It's telling you that the storm is soon to come over and so on. And so it's going to be the same in the time when Jesus comes. Because you do not want to be left behind when the rapture happens. And we're going to close with Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, because this then is not another day. Anything but.
Yeah.
And I will just mention this in passing, for you to understand a bit of this, because we know the overcomers are snatched, caught away in heaven. The overcoming churches all receive the admonitions. Then in chapter 4, the church is now in heaven with Christ. That wonderful imagery, remember I preached a few months ago on that, Christ in heaven and the church there and so on. Now everything is in heaven, and now the scrolls are to be open. And the only one who can open the scrolls is Christ himself, the first fruits. Then we come to chapter 6, and look what happens when this scroll opens. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. So there is confusion as to who this white horse is. There are many who believe it's Christ. I am convinced that this white horse is in fact the Antichrist. It is a counterfeit. Because Christ, where is he? He's in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
He's not on the earth. He's the one that's opened the scroll, and at the opening there is thunder. John is taken up to see what is in this. So here we see this white horse goes forth in which to conquer. And the white horse had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering to conquer. He's been given power by governments, by these powerful oligarchs, and so on. They have invested into him. So he's able, with that money, power, money, power, to go forth and conquer the earth. So he is a counterfeit. We know this because he will, on the last part of the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, he will go into the temple and announce himself, he is the Messiah, he is God. Then we come to another horse. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come and see. Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. What does the sword speak of? The sword always speaks of war. And the Antichrist is going to make war with the saints. There already will be wars, rumours of wars. I believe we're already seeing the signs of World War III that will happen in the time before the Lord comes. We're already beginning to see Gog Magog happening, rising up, where God will put hooks in their jaws and will bring that northern part down towards Israel, and it will be destroyed. It's already, the signs of it are happening. Ukraine, Russia, and so forth. It's going to add others as well. It's not just going to stop there. Mark my words. So there we are. The red horse speaks of the sword, wars, which Antichrist will wage. And then it goes on, then he opened the third seal, and I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hands. Well, what does that speak of? The black horse, it speaks, scales speaks of famine. So these wars that are taking place, waging wars when Christians and Israel knows that it's being deceived, the abomination of desolation. Can you see each horse is adding on the problems? It's like a domino effect. And so the black horse, we're going to be famines. What does war do? War often affects and brings about famines. We're seeing slight indications of it now, aren't we? With the wheat from Russia, gas, and Ukraine, the wheat, and so on. We're seeing signs of it now happening. These are warnings to us of what is to come. And the wars and the famines will have this effect. Then it goes on, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four. I opened the third seal and heard the living creature say, come and see. And look, behold, a black horse. We've looked at that. And I heard, verse 6, a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quarter of wheat for a denarius and 3/4 of barley for a denarius. And do not harm the oil and the wine. So look at the price. People won't be able to afford that. I mean, we're hearing it now, aren't we, with utility bills going sky high. That's nothing to what is going to come. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the four living creatures say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And the power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. A quarter of the population will die as a result of what's going on. And that's the pale horse. What does the pale horse speak of? It speaks of sickness, plague. And this is the result of these horsemen that go forth. You do not want to be about in that day. Trust me. And we're beginning to see all of this starting to build up, are we not? The world doesn't see it, but we are beginning to see it. You see, the world is looking for answers. It's looking for power. It's looking for leadership. It's looking for prosperity. Let's get our economies back as they were before. They want to carry on in their sin, and God isn't going to let it happen anymore. The clock is ticking, brothers and sisters. There's no two ways about it. It's a time bomb waiting to go off. But all of this, as I close, is restrained until he is taken out of the way. And who is taken out of the way? The church, the overcomers. We are restraining this through our prayers, our intercessions, meetings like this, the preaching and teaching of the word. Why do I say that? Who did God give the keys to? The church. The keys of heaven are given to the church to unlock. So we are holding this back until we are caught away. Then the Antichrist comes forth. Until then, just another day.
Let him in constancy follow.